So, tonight we're looking at Psalm 36, 5 to 10. You will notice that this is almost exactly what the third of our worship songs were. I mean, Third Day took this directly out of these verses. Lord, your faithful love reaches to heaven, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains, your judgments like the deepest sea. Lord, you preserve man and beast. God, your faithful love is so valuable that people take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They're filled from the abundance of your house. You let them drink from your refreshing stream. For with you is life's fountain. In your light we will see light. Spread your faithful love over those who know you. You and your righteousness over the upright in heart. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we're here tonight. We'd ask you to bless us and guide us and go with us. Take good care of John and get him here just as quick as possible. But, you know, whatever's going on, we understand. Help us to be good servants and help us to learn from this tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I just felt like that we needed to look at the way God loves us. Once again, sometimes I'm reading various things that I get during the week, and it just strikes me. Sometimes, if you looked at what I got the idea from, you'd think, wait a minute, that has nothing to do with what you're preaching about. Still, as we say, God works in mysterious ways, and the mind of Walter, who can know? So it's just one of those things. David, if you read the whole Psalm 36, this is about people who are mistreating David. That's what the Psalm's actually about. But embedded in the center of it, 5 to 10, is this thing where David gives his vision of God and what it's like. He starts out in the Psalm by saying that he's completely surrounded by wickedness and that he's meditating on the love of God for him. And so he looks at the attributes, first of all, of God's love. Faithfulness. We had the one song that we sang that was about the God who stays. No matter what, he will stay with us. I'm actually thinking of a sermon out of Jeremiah that is the opposite. It has to do with what can you do to make God not faithful and make God just ignore you. But that's a whole different thing. And then there's God's righteousness. This is a thing that I have tried to explain to people before when they start talking about, oh, look at all this bad stuff that's happening to me. Why is God allowing this? God is righteous. And so, by definition, we have to say if God did it or God allowed it, it must be right. It must be righteous because God is righteous. He's faithful. He loves us. He's righteous in that he never does wrong. And he wants to lead us in the way that we won't do wrong. We'll do what he wants. And then there is justice. Now, this is one of those things where God's love actually keeps us away from justice. You see, we often talk about God is a just God, but God is also a merciful God. Now, God is merciful to those who belong to him. If we belong to him, then he's merciful to us. And we go to him and we confess our sins and we say, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. And he says, that's okay. Go out and do better. go out and work at this. Okay? He knows we're going to mess up. Ann Graham Lotz said at one point that she was listening to a lady who was giving a talk, and one of the things the lady said was, "What does God expect of you?" And she said it suddenly just overwhelmed her, that God expects me to fail. He does. He expects us to fail because we're us and he is him. He never messes up. We do so routinely. The less we mess up, the closer we're getting to God, because the only way we're not going to mess up is by staying close to God. So God doesn't really give us justice. But as David is talking about it in this instance, the justice he's talking about is the people who do not belong to God, who are harassing him, and who are just not good people. And he's essentially saying, "Okay, Lord, your justice will prevail here. I'm depending on you, because I really don't have a right as a human being to exact justice. You do." Now, there are things in the Bible where he tells us to exact justice. Very often he told the Israelites, "I want you to go out and I want you to wipe that civilization off the face of the planet." He actually fired Saul as king because he did not wipe out the Amalekites completely. Because God just said, those people are unredeemable. They've gone beyond the pale. And I want you to get them off the face of my earth. But Saul didn't do it. So what does God's love do? Well, he says he preserves man and beast. Because God loves us, he takes care of us. Very often, we'll mess up and we're going, "Oh, I'm screwed." And the Lord said, "Don't worry, I got it." And he fixes things for us. You know, sometimes we'll be saying, "But Lord, I was trying." And he goes, "Yeah, but you didn't talk to me about it. And so you went off half-cocked in the wrong direction." But he still preserves us. And he provides a refuge. When things are just really getting bad, we can go to God and he'll protect us and he'll let us rest and get better. He gives us a refuge. And God's love is filled. We are filled by the abundance of God. Now, sometimes we don't think that. We say, "Oh, you know, look at these people. They've got all this stuff." Yeah, but they're not happy. A lot of people don't have stuff, but they're very happy because they're dependent on God. Okay? We have people in this church who don't have just hordes of money and all kinds of stuff. But they have what they need and they're taken care of by God and his abundance. And when they have a need, God provides for it. The big thing is, we have to go to him and we have to say, "Lord, I need you. I need something from you." Now, he may then say, "Okay, well, this is how you get it." Or he may say, "Okay, I can deal with that." And God's love refreshes us. When we're beat up and beat down and just feel like we can't go on, God refreshes us. That's our little verse for our church. "Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint." God refreshes us. So what does he have that we need? Well, first of all, God's fountain of blessing. When we need something, he pours blessings on us. He tells us, "I got this for you. I want to make your life easier." God provides light for us to see our way. Sometimes we don't know what to do. And so we have to stop and we have to say, okay, Lord, what am I going to do? If you have a GPS, very often if you get really screwed up in your traveling and you've just taken, you know, turns or whatever, and you just stop and you'll hear it say, recalibrating. It's deciding, where are they? Where did they say they wanted to go? Okay, here's how you get there. God will do that. He will give us light to see our way. He will tell us how to get where we need to go and how to be what we need to be. And then David asks for love to those who know God. You see, those who know God are loved by Him and they're cared for by Him. Like I said, the little song that we had, the God who stays, His love never goes away. And He asks for righteousness to overwhelm the upright in heart. If we're upright in heart, basically means we're trying to do the right thing. We're trying to be like what God wants us to be. And so He says, bring your righteousness into us that we can be as righteous as you. Now, we're never going to make it, but we can get more and more righteous by doing what God wants from us. So what does this all mean to us? This is the main part of this. We too are surrounded by wickedness. If you listen to the news very much, you discover it. I mean, 90% of it is wickedness of somebody. But we need to look away from that wickedness and toward God. We need to say, what would God have us to do? Now, recently, we have seen a lot of people looking at things, particularly here in Washington with Governor Inslee and so on, and saying, we need to revolt. We need to fight back, whatever you want to call it, that we need to say, we're not going to take this anymore. That's not necessarily bad. You go to God and say, what do you want me to do? And He may tell you, no, that's wicked. Don't do that. He may not tell you to go out and actively fight it, but He may tell you to stand fast and refuse to be a part of it. It doesn't hurt us. Well, it does me a little bit, but it doesn't hurt us to have these masks. We know they're not doing this for the health. They're doing this to prove to us that they can control us so that when the time comes, they can say, oh, I want this, I want that. You know, you must because I'm, you know, so powerful. They're not. We have a constitution in this country and it's based on the Word of God. And we need to demand that it be followed. We need to demand that people act in righteousness of God. And if they refuse, then we need to go to the Lord and just say, Lord, I'm trying. Back me up on this. We need to remember what God is like. We have looked at the attributes of God and all these other things. We need to remember this. We need to remember, as we learned in the sermon before, God is omnipotent. He can do anything, anytime He wants to. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He knows what's going on, right or wrong. And He's omnipresent. He's always with us. Sometimes that's hard to believe. And we say, Lord, I can't feel you. I don't know if you're here really. God loves you. He has a plan for your life. And if you just say, Lord, I don't think I'm following your plans, he probably say, actually, you're right. Now, here's what you do. We need to remember how God treats us if we're following him. He gives us this fountain of blessing. He gives us light to see our way. He gives us his love. And he will give us righteousness if we just continue following him. We need to remember that we need God. So many of us look at things and say, I don't need God. You know, I can handle it myself. No, you can't. Even if you have everything you need to handle something, you still need the Lord to be in it. One of the most important things that I ever heard about medicine was a doctor at the hospital at Oral Roberts University, which is called the City of Hope Medical Center. And he said, we always have people praying during major surgery because even if it's a simple surgery that you never have any problems with, if God decided you're going to have problems, they'll come and that person could die. And even if it's very low percentage chance that this is going to work, if God says it's going to work, it will. So we keep everything in God's hands at all times. I had not thought of that. We've had people who have said, well, you know, when it's your time, it's your time. So you just have to say. That comes down to this same thing. If God wants everything to go smooth, it will. If God wants there to be trouble, there will be. We need to remember that we need God either to make things smooth or get us through the rough points. And we need to ask him for his love and righteousness. We need to say, Lord, make me the person you want me to be. I have been doing that for decades. And for most of those decades, he's been leading me in ways I didn't want to go because this was the job I wanted. 50 years ago, this was the job I wanted. Not yet, Walter. Now he gave it to me. He said, now's the time. And I said, oh Lord, this is the job that I've wanted all my life. It's hard. You don't make much money at it. Doesn't matter. This is where fulfillment is because the Lord called me to this. We need to ask him for his love and righteousness to do whatever he calls us to do. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we were here tonight. We would ask you to go with us in all we do. Give us your love and righteousness. Help us to tell people about you and to guide them to know you. Lord, we lift up this lady, Jennifer, and we just pray, Lord, that the devil would be bound away from her and she would be able to get that Bible and read it and come to know you. And that if there are questions, she will ask Pat. And if Pat doesn't know the answer, she'll ask me. And if I don't know the answer, I'll find it. Help us always to depend on you and you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, guys. Thank you.